Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says this, "For we are his workmanship." Look at your neighbor and say, "Hey, your workmanship." Oh, that was so weak. Look at your neighbor and say, "Hey, you're his workmanship." Oh, wow. All right, Holy Spirit, let's do this. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should," everybody say should, "walk in them." Now, again, this morning, we are his workmanship. But what does that really mean? Because I think a lot of times we just kind of are like, we're here and we are who we are. But this morning, the word declares that we are his workmanship, his being God, all right? And so this morning, how many knows that God is a pretty cool dude? All right? How many knows that he created everything? And how many knows if we are his workmanship, that makes us pretty special, right? Now, this morning, I think sometimes we forget that we are his workmanship. I think we forget that we are his creation. But again, in Genesis, we find from the very beginning that he wanted us to know that we belong to him. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, the Lord says this, "Let us make in our image according to our likeness." How many knows that we have been made in his image and likeness this morning? If we read on to verse 27 in that same chapter, it says, "So God created man in his own image." He said, "This is my idea," and then he followed through with his idea. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, he goes on to say, "Then God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." How many are thankful this morning that we are a living soul? Amen. If not, we could be like any other dog, cat, monkey, moose, all right? And we could kind of be enjoying what God created, but we don't have that same element of fellowship and relationship with our Creator. So how many this morning are glad that we were created in his image, in his likeness, and he breathed his life into us? Amen. We are his workmanship. But I think sometimes we live in a world where we feel like we're just the byproduct of something. Well, you're just the byproduct of Virgil and Joy Kincaid. Well, they did a beautiful job. You see, sometimes the world would tell us, well, you're just a byproduct of your parents, or you're just a byproduct of your environment, or you're a byproduct of your community. You're a byproduct of divorce. You're a byproduct of abandonment. You're a byproduct of abuse. You're a byproduct this, that, or the other this morning. But you see, that's not what that says. That word this morning, it says workmanship. It means that he specifically created us. So instead of a byproduct this morning, can I tell you that you're a masterpiece? Amen? You see, we aren't something that was just a byproduct of some random encounter between two individuals. You see, this morning, we are his workmanship. We are his individual masterpieces this morning. And we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. You see, again, I think sometimes we get to that point, and I think a lot of times because we feel like we're a byproduct, we feel like we're inferior. You see, I think sometimes we walk around life feeling like we're a Timex when God made us a Rolex. Does that make sense? Nothing against Timex. That's about all I've ever owned via watches, all right? I love a good Timex. Not dogging Timex this morning. But you see, how many knows there's a quality difference? How many knows there's a quality difference inside of you this morning? I think some of you are unaware of it. You are his workmanship. You are his creation. You are what he says you are, and that is his this morning. Amen? And we have been created in Christ Jesus for good works. Look at your neighbor and say, "Hey, seriously, guys, what is, like, was there a time change I was unaware of? Did everybody attend the same?" Oh, wait, maybe you did. Maybe you were all at Fourth Fest or whatever really late last night for King and Country, right? Some of you maybe. Well, can we be here for the King today? Amen. Let's show up, okay? Wow. Sweet Heavenly Father, We have been created in Christ Jesus. What that means is that we have been formed, we have been shaped, we have been made, we have been changed, we have been transformed into the image of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And what it actually denotes is that we have had that transformational change because of an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. How many knows that when we realize we are his creation and that we were created in Christ Jesus, it will birth an intimacy within our spiritual walk with God? And that relationship, that intimacy that we're to have with Jesus is not meant for just nothing. It's meant for good works. Everybody say good works. You see, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, again, another familiar passage of Scripture says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." At one time, you were a Timex. Now you are a Rolex. You have been recreated in Christ Jesus, and you have been recreated for a specific reason. You see, we have been formed, we have been shaped, we have been changed, we have been transformed into Christ for a purpose, and that purpose is good works. Everybody say good works. I want to again, this morning, we can't encapsulate everything that is, but how many knows that the Word of God declares that if we love him, we will obey him. And if we love him, we will obey him and do what? Follow his commands, right? How many knows that's plural? It's not one. We talked a little bit about obedience this morning in Sunday school. But how many knows it's not just about obeying one thing or some things, it's all things, all right? Because as we learned this morning, that if you're not obeying Christ, you're rebelling against Christ. Oh, don't use that word. I didn't like obedience at all, but oh, Father, don't use rebel. I am not a rebel. All right, I hope not. You see, good works, I'm going to platform that this morning into a little scenario here for us, all right? Beginning with, again, more familiar passages. And if you're getting tired of these, I'm very sorry, but they're in there. And he's been laying them upon our heart, and they just seem to be recirculating time and time again. And so how many knows a lot of times when God continues to bring things to our attention, it's because it's important. All right. So this morning, again, in trying to lay that foundation of good works, I want to describe it with just three simple scriptures this morning, beginning in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Now, if we go on and we look at Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 15 through 18, it says this, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who is believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, and they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." How many knows that sounds like some pretty good works, right? Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 goes on to tell us this, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me." Everybody say witnesses. All right, "to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and all Samaria and even to the ends of the earth." You see, for me this morning, if you don't know what good works is, that's a really good place to start. Because we can get real jacked up on the word works. And we don't have time to go into that because that is not the sermon that the Lord gave me this morning. But how many know we are not saved by our works, but we are saved to work? All right, does that make sense this morning? You see, and that's going to be our basis for that, because that is the commission that we have received from Jesus Christ, from our heavenly creator, all right? Now, if we understand this morning then that we are his workmanship, that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, and that is what good works begin to look like in our lives, we go a little further and it says that which God prepared beforehand. How many of you know that God did not do you on purpose? Or I meant on accident. He'd make you on purpose. Got a little ahead of myself. I know a lot of times, again, we live in a culture that people say things, and sometimes things are said that are not true about you. And words like mistake and regret and things like that get thrown around. But can I tell you that no matter what some individual had in mind or in heart, that God has purposed you from the beginning? Amen. It says that again, that he prepared beforehand. In other words, he prepared and appointed us for this very time. Now, I have often felt like I was born out of place. I think I'd have made a really good baby boomer. But that's not when I was born. That's when my parents were born. You see, we have to understand that we are here today in this season at the generational age we are represented this morning because God needed us to be who we are today, age and all, for this moment. He made sure that we were going to be who he needed us to be at this time. We just have to come up to the standard of living that he's called us to for this time. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. How many know this morning we have a hope as his creation, as his workmanship? Amen. And we have to remember that no matter what the world may tell us, no matter how many times the world may say you're a byproduct, no matter how many times the world may say you're just a Timex, we have to say, no, I remember who I am and whose I am. And I remember that I have a purpose for just this very moment. And I am made to a higher degree in quality than I can ever even begin to imagine. If we read Psalms chapter 139, verses 13, 14, and 17, it says this, for you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. How many knows that the works of creation are marvelous? And we attribute that to God all of the time. But I think included in marvelous are your works is you and me. And sometimes we forget to give God praise and glory and honor that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? He says, fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Verse 17, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God, how great is the sum of them. Can I tell you this morning that if you feel unloved, forsaken, abandoned, rejected by the world, that doesn't matter? Because you have a creator who says otherwise, who knows who you are, who knows your purpose, and who has given you purpose. And this morning, his thoughts for you far exceed in a positive way what we can ever begin to comprehend or imagine this morning. How many are thankful that he loves us, that he didn't just make us and leave us, but he made us for fellowship and to enjoy his presence and to commune with him. Amen. Now, as a result of all of that, the very last portion of this scripture says that we should walk in them. You see, that means that we have been created, we have been transformed, we have been appointed to conduct our lives according to these truths. That we are his workmanship, that we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, all right? And that he has appointed, he has prepared us for this very time and place and purpose throughout history. You see, but sometimes I think we just forget those things. I think that we forget how fearfully and wonderfully made we really are. I think we forget how awesome our craftsman is. Because how many knows there is no other like our God? Amen? How many knows if we were made by anything less than him, we would be insufficient this morning? And man, we could, and some of you may say, well, you know, you don't look all that great already, Pastor John, but you know, that's your opinion. Because the Lord said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And I'm thankful this morning that my creator is a living, almighty creator. Amen. And that he has no beginning and no end. I'm thankful this morning that I can't even fully comprehend him this morning. You see, I think the challenge we often face is that, again, we forget, we neglect that we have been created and transformed for an appointed purpose. Everybody say an appointed purpose. And as a result, I think that we lose sight, we lose appreciation, we lose our joy of loving and serving because we forget that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, because he has planned and prepared stuff ahead of time. And you think, well, that seems really simplistic this morning, and I don't really know what you're getting at. I want you to turn with me to Psalms chapter 51. You see, when we lose sight, when we lose appreciation, we begin to lose our joy of living to love. How many knows it is really hard to love people? Some of you know more than others, I suppose. But you see, how many knows to love others as God loves us, we need him in us. And we cannot lose sight of that if we are going to do that. And so as I begin to kind of study and pray, the Lord just kind of linked these two things together, which I have to admittedly say this morning, I wouldn't have necessarily linked them together myself. But as he began to impress upon me that when we lose our joy, we lose our perspective of who he is as our master. We lose our perspective of who we are as his masterpiece and the purpose that he has for us being, again, good works. He began to just lay upon my heart that a lot of times what happens is that begins to fade when we lose our joy. Everybody say joy. Now, joy and how we will reference it this morning in Old and New Testament just simply means a gladness of heart. How many, when you woke up this morning, you were glad? You were joyful. Were you glad because you woke up? Or were you glad because you woke up and you were still serving and loving the living God? And you knew who you belonged to. You see, without joy, we fail to recognize our master, and we fail to recognize our value as his masterpiece. We fail to be changed and transformed for good works that we have been appointed to. Without joy, we fail to remember that we have already been empowered and equipped and prepared by God for this moment. Without joy, we fail to walk in and conduct our lives according to not just these truths that we find in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, but in the entire word of God. You see, if you lose your joy, how many knows the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength? And I think again, I know me personally, people are like, hey man, why don't you smile more? You look really unhappy. And I'll be honest with you, the outward very rarely resembles the inward in my life. Good things happen to me all the time, and my facial expressions don't change. My children actually made fun of me for it last night. One of the first things, they got home, they hugged me, then they made fun of me. So now I wish they would go away for another 2 weeks. No, I'm just kidding. I'm so glad that they're home. But they're like, Emma's like, Dad, I love how when like good things and cool things happen, and you're just like, okay. I'm like, well, I'm glad you love that about me because your mother hates it. And the rest of the world too. But you see, I think a lot of times what we need is for that joy to come out and be not just resident, but radiant in our lives. And I'll be the first to admit, I'm not like, it's Monday, woo, how you doing? That's not me. That's probably not even me on Friday, all right? But there is a point where we have to come and we have to allow that joy, that gladness of heart that is supposed to be resident within us to begin to overflow. And if we find ourselves in a place where it's not overflowing, where we don't find joy in loving and serving the Lord, where we don't find joy in loving and serving his people within his kingdom, then we need to have a check. We need to take a little self-examination moment. And I'm thankful that David would have had to have had one of these moments, because in Psalms chapter 51 and verse 12, he writes about it, all right? And I want to start there this morning, because he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. You see, he had come to a place or a circumstance in life, and he was like, my joy is not really where it needs to be. And I don't know about you, but I can guarantee you that in my life, I go through those moments and I know that my joy is not where it needs to be. And again, we have to remember that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And how many wants to live a life as a weak Christian? Yes, Father, let me do it. Let me barely get through and scrape my way into heaven. How many knows that we need to be flourishing, thriving in this life, in this walk with God, right? So what we do is we get to this point, and maybe this morning we need to do that. Maybe we need to take a moment this morning like David did and say, Lord, restore. God, just begin to restore your joy in me, the joy of your salvation. How many this morning are thankful for the salvation that you have? How many know that salvation is a miracle? You see, how many of you would say, oh, if I had a miracle, I'd never neglect it. I would keep it in my pocket. I would feed it. I would love it. I would show everybody my miracle. But how many knows that we just kind of stick the miracle of salvation in our back pocket and we just walk on? It's a miracle. Can you save yourself and send yourself to heaven for all eternity to be with God? Absolutely not. You can't and I can't and nobody else can either. But this morning, again, because we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus, how many knows he makes all things new? Amen. How many knows that he signed our adoption papers in blood? Giving us hope this morning. Giving us that little word we call salvation. So David says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. You see that word, restore, it just simply means bring back or return. He's saying, Lord, bring me back to that place of joy. Bring me back to that place where I have that gladness of heart, knowing that I am yours and you are mine. You see, it means also to refresh or repair. How many knows life can weigh heavy on you? Sometimes we need to be refreshed. Now, we acknowledge this in the physical because we will take a weekend away, or we will take a sick day off of work, or we will take a vacation and we will go. But what we don't often do is do that for our spiritual lives. He says, hey, you're getting a little out of alignment. The Holy Spirit begins to nudge you. I think you need a time of repairing, a time of refreshing. You need to let that joy return back to your life. But we're like, we can make it another day. And we try to just keep working through. But how many knows the same way that we would take a physical vacation for our bodies, we need to take spiritual vacations. And we need to dive into his word, dive into prayer, dive into personal worship, and allow ourselves to be refreshed and repaired and for our joy to be made full in him again. Amen? You see, now this can only happen, I think, really one way. And to do this, we're kind of actually going to work a little bit backwards this morning. How many know sometimes to go forward, you got to work backwards? It doesn't make sense to anybody who's never been stuck, but I've been stuck a lot of times, all right? So this morning, I want to read Psalms 51 and verse 11, because David said this. He said, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. How many knows that the presence of the God is so important in our lives, as well as the Holy Spirit? You see, if we're not careful, when we lose our joy, what we tend to do is we tend to shy away from his presence, and we tend to shy away from the leading of the Holy Spirit. But for us to get to that place where we understand, yes, I need my joy to be restored, what we first have to understand is that I need to be in his presence, and I need to be filled with his Holy Spirit. Because if those things aren't engaged, how many knows we're probably not going to find the right form of joy that we need? Because we try to find joy in many other places, in many other things, in many other ways. But if it's not in his presence and by his Holy Spirit, we're not going to find what we need. Psalm 16 and 11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. How many want lesser joy? You know what? I'll take a half a cup of joy today, Lord, if you don't mind. Yesterday, I went with fullness, and it kind of started spilling over. People thought I was crazy at work. And so today, if you can you please just give me a half a cup of joy? I want to experience the fullness of joy. And to experience the fullness of joy, Scripture tells us that we have to be in his presence, because in his presence is the fullness of joy. Romans 14 and 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit or in the Holy Ghost. You're not going to find that genuine, real, God-given joy, that fruit of the Spirit joy, unless you are connected to God in his presence by his Holy Spirit. There is no other way. Again, we can formulate temporary joy in many other avenues, but if we're all being honest this morning, those things fade and they fade fast. But how many knows when we're holding on to what God has, it is lasting, it is enduring, amen? You see, and again, this can only happen if we first start where verse 10, and it says this, created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. How many of you, sometimes we just need to simply evaluate our life and realize that we can't do what he can do. And we try to recreate all of the time. But how many knows what we can create or recreate is going to be insufficient compared to what he can create in us. So David says, first, before anything happens, God, I need you to create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. A spirit that is going to say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I'm here to serve you. Lord, I love people and I'm going to serve people. God, I'm here for you and for your kingdom and not mine. You see, there's no way that we're going to desire to be in his presence. There's no way that we're ever going to desire to have the Holy Spirit reside within us on a permanent basis if we first can't even bring ourselves to pray that prayer, God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Well, I prayed and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's awesome. I'm so glad that you did. But how many knows we make mistakes? And how many knows, like just like any other relationship, if we don't spend time, we will be drawn away. You see, there's an important key, I think, in this prayer and pleading before God and saying, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. I got to be honest with you. I'm not perfect. I would love to tell you that I literally pray that scripture and that prayer every single day. There are days that I miss praying that prayer, but can I tell you the days that I miss it, I know it. I don't want to go through a day with an impure heart. Because if my heart is impure, I'm probably not going to be as close to his presence and feel his spirit as richly as I need to in my life. And that's probably going to lead to me missing something he has for me or something that he needs me to do for someone else. You see, so it's important for us to approach the Lord. And I believe on a daily basis, under that pretense of create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Align me with who you are so that I can better be in your presence and filled with your spirit. Because when that happens, I will be able to approach you and say, hey, I understand I've got this lack of joy. And so, Lord, please restore my joy. You see, again, that word create means to shape, to form, to transform. It also denotes making new conditions or new circumstances. How many want to live in your same conditions and circumstances every day? You're like, well, yesterday was pretty good, so yeah, I'm cool with that. But what happens when tomorrow blows up? Do you want to live in blown up conditions and circumstances until Jesus returns? You see, no, we need to go before him and say, God, create in me a clean heart, a new heart. Create new conditions within me. Create new circumstances within me. It means to create something new, but it also denotes creating the miraculous. And I don't know about you, but I want to see the miraculous in my life and in the hearts and lives of others. That word renew, it simply, again, just means to rebuild and repair and to make new. And maybe today you're saying, you know what, I don't feel like that's me. And hopefully, maybe not. Maybe today this isn't for you. But I do believe that this message is for someone this morning who you have forgotten who you belong to. That you are his workmanship. And that you were created for a purpose. And it's not the purpose that you are thinking you were created for. It's for his purpose in Christ Jesus for good works. Because he has appointed you for this time in your field of expertise. At your job, in your neighborhood, your home, your marriage, your family, he has made sure that you are here for his appointed purpose. But we have to make sure that we're fulfilling that appointed purpose and that we're doing that with the gladness of heart that we should be doing in his presence. Amen? If you would stand with me this morning. To get to where we need to be, we have to first say, God created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. We have to take that progression in our spiritual life and in our spiritual walk, I believe, on a daily basis. Not on a weekly basis, not on a Sunday basis, a Wednesday basis, but on a daily basis. We have to take that progress and we have to put that really just to the test, because then there will be results that transpire because of that. If we go on and we read verse 13, we see the results. And it says this: then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. You will not have influence over the heart of the lost if you have no joy in your life. I can tell you right now that those who win the most to Christ are those who allow themselves to continually be filled and refilled with the joy of the Lord. I'll be honest with you, I have met some Christians that if I didn't already know Christ, I would not want him. And I don't mean that to be harsh this morning, that's just a matter of fact. I won't even say some Christians, I will go as far as saying some pastors. If I did not already know Jesus Christ, I would think, I do not want him. But you see, this morning, I think the Lord wants to grab our attention. He wants to remind us of who he is, but also who we are in him. And that this morning you have a value that is far more significant than maybe you realize this morning. And he has appointed you for this time. It's not a mistake. He didn't mess up. He has you here on planet Earth in Madisonville, Kentucky in 2019 for a very, very, very specific reason. You see, and in that reason, we have to make sure that every day we're taking the greatest advantage possible. Because if we will ask for that clean heart, if we will ask for that renewed spirit, if we will ask for his presence, if we will ask for his Holy Spirit, he will restore our joy. And if our joy is restored in him, then it says we will have what we need. He says, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted unto you. If we go back to the platform of good works, what did he say? He said, teach them all things. You see, our purpose, if nothing else, for every believer this morning is to make disciples. And you cannot, you can and don't. Don't make disciples that are just as joyless as you are. Do not reproduce a joyless, lifeless disciple. Because we do bear fruit. And it is like fruit. If you are joyless and lifeless in your relationship and walk with Christ, you will produce, potentially, joyless and lifeless disciples. I got no room for that. I want good fruit that remains. Amen? I want to make sure that when I'm reproducing disciples, that they're disciples who are going to be as hungry or more for God than I am. I want them to have a passion that is equal to or greater than my passion for the Lord. You see, this morning, maybe we just need to take a moment and we need to evaluate our level of joy. And if it's off balance, maybe we need to just kind of start at the beginning of the process this morning and say, God, first and foremost, just create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. God, draw me closer into your presence this morning. God, draw me closer to your Holy Spirit. God, don't ever let me take a step without your spirit being there. God, cast me not away. And Lord, this morning, I know I'm a little off balance. So Lord, restore the joy of your salvation to me this morning. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you this morning, God, that not a soul breathing in this house this morning is a mistake. But God, that you have purposed them, you have given specific attention to make sure that right now they would be alive to fulfill the appointment that you created them for. And so, Father, I pray that we would, with a very genuine seriousness this morning, God, take just a moment to evaluate, God, our joy. Because, God, if we have no joy for loving and serving and living for you, then, God, some things are out of balance. So, Lord, today I pray that we would evaluate our joy. And, God, let us be honest with ourselves this morning. And if we need to start the process to get there, God, let us do so this morning by coming before you and, God, simply just, God, declaring where we are and what we need from you the most this morning. Father, I thank you for how your Spirit is working in this house and will continue to work in this house this morning. Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.